Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Thursday, September 5th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 4, page 52, in We Agnostics, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with the Wright brothers' almost childish faith. And we'll be reading this one paragraph, ending with the Wright brothers would never fly. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Cindy K. for the 12 steps, Ann P. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Robin P., Dion R., and Leslie W. Our newcomer greeter today is Mary H. and Reggie O. for our announcements. The share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, September 4th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,360. That's 13360. And the share ID for this morning's Thursday, September 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,363. That's 1363. The OA Preamblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Cindy K. to read our 12 steps of OA. Cindy?
Hi, good morning, everybody. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number four, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and have a good day.
Pat. Well, and thank you, Cindy K. And Ann P., would you please read our 12 traditions of OA? Ann?
Absolutely. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, accepting matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcohol, to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
And thank you for your service, Ann P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for the recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And that does include your mute button, so please use star 1 rather than your mute button. We appreciate that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 52. And we agnostics, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with the Wright brothers' almost childish faith. And would Robin P. please read for us this morning? Robin?
Thank you. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater currently in Kinawan, New Jersey. I'm from Vero Beach, Florida. The Wright brothers' almost childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. Without that, nothing could have happened. We agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. When others showed us that God's sufficiency worked with them, we began to feel like those who had insisted the Wright would never fly. Well, this is very interesting that I'm reading this today on the meeting, because I'm an inventor, and I invented portable exercise pedals that people use on planes. Now people are using them everywhere, but I invented them for planes because I didn't want to get a blood clot on long flights, which affect a million Americans every year. And I also kept thinking, why couldn't I just get my blood flowing because of the cabin pressure on long flights right on the plane? And it took childish faith, and there were so many people who told me, you can never bring an exercise device on a plane. And it's very small and very portable and comes in a bag. But I still, there were so many naysayers, including people in the industry, who said, PSA will never let you do that. You'll never be able to do that. Flight attendants won't. And everyone has never had a problem with it. And the only thing flight attendants ask is if they can borrow it in the back, you know, and PSA goes, that's a great idea, you know. And so it just showed, it's funny because I feel like I have so many parallels with them because but I've also needed a lot of God reliance and a lot of faith, just like with my recovery. And I've gone through a lot of things where it's brought me to my knees with manufacturing, and I've had the same parallels. I believe that with my recovery, it's the same parallels, that I need to surrender all in every area of my life so that God can use me for good and use my gifts for good and be of service to my fellows and to God. And the only way I can do that is to fully surrender all. You know that song, I Surrender All, that it just, that's, I'm just praying only for knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. And being an inventor has been really a faith walk over and over when I've invented things. And it takes that childish faith, but so does my recovery. You know, how will I get through this? How will I get through that? We went through the evacuations, and now we're dealing with our cars in South Carolina right now at the airport, and we're dealing with that. And just faith, one day at a time. And it all passes as long as I don't pick up, as long as I reach out and work my program, as long as I'm of service, as long as I rely on God and not myself, as long as I admit that I'm powerless in every area of my life, and I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. To me, it's not the abuse of God. It's not whatever I grew up with. It's the care of God. And even if someone's been, I came in a devout atheist into the program, and people just said, rely on a power that's greater than your addiction. And so that's what I get to do today. And I this was my bridge to God. This isn't a religious program, but I became a Christian, and I have a very, my relationship with God's the most important relationship in my life, and was the least important, and is now the most important. God bless everybody in your recovery, and I pray that you all have an abstinent day. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P., for getting us started. So now I'm going to take some names, and who would like to share on Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 52, fourth paragraph, beginning with the Wright brothers? Who would like to share this morning?
Leslie W.
Gotcha. Jump in. The water's warm.
Beatrice O.
Gotcha, Beatrice.
Kim J.
Robin B.
Was that Robin B as in Baker?
Yes.
Thank you, Robin. All right. Who else would like to share this morning? Got two more spots. Water's warm.
Hi, Dion R.
Dion R.
Patty T.
Okay. All right. I got my lineup here. So I have Leslie W., Beatrice O., Kim J., Robin B., Dion R., Patty T. Good morning, Leslie W., multitasker this morning.
Oh, yes. Good morning. How are you? Thank you so much for your service this morning, dear Katie. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. I like that they're talking about self-sufficiency. I kept sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve my problem. I really didn't understand how God had anything to do with eating, with why I couldn't stop eating. I just kept thinking that if I just found the right diet, if I just found the right day, there was never a good day. I never had a day where I actually stuck to what I said I was going to do when it came to my food, and turns out a lot of other things too, you know, that I was unreliable with in my life. And, I remember going to Italy in May with my husband, and I weigh and measure all of my food that I eat. And I remember my mom saying to me, Leslie, you're not going to be able to do that in Italy. And I also remember my husband saying to me, Leslie, can you just take a 10-day break from your program so that we don't have to worry about it? These are comments made by people who do not understand the severity of my disease. I do. And I know that I tried so hard for so long to do it on my own. I could not. The only thing that has ever helped me has been this program. And even though it took me a while to really get it, I didn't understand abstinence. I didn't understand how to work the steps. I really didn't hear the solution. I heard the problem, but I didn't really hear the solution until I came to A Vision for You. And you know, I'm truly grateful for the life that I live today. Grateful to be able to go anywhere and do anything with God by my side and my fellows. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leslie W. Beatrice O., you're up, followed by Kim J. Good morning, Beatrice.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O., recovering from Northern California. And I like this little paragraph we're unpacking, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith. You know, it's funny because we think that sometimes, well, I think I should say, sometimes I think that our ideas come from my own intelligence. So we think our brilliance and intelligence comes from like our genes, or we were born gifted, or we see these child prodigies. And so what I know today, or what I believe, is my power comes from the spirit of the universe, just like the Big Book says, except my power is holy and pure. And that's the difference for me. My power is love and compassion, and my higher power is always with me and will never leave me. He's always with me. And where I get into trouble is my my self-sufficiency. When I walk away, I'm like that little child that, sees something bright or sees something across the street and wants to go get it. And I step away from my higher power. And, you know, my power tells me, or I tell myself now, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough, and I am worthy. And I have to tell myself that. And the other thing is, these battles that I have with conflict and all that stuff here on this planet, they're spiritual battles. And I have to remember that I surrendered my life to God and that I have a power that lives within me. And I have a power that can solve all my problems. And it's me who thinks and feels. I know better. And when I wander off, I get hurt. And the last thing I want to say is I have a higher power that's personal, intimate relationship. My higher power is my bestie. He is my best friend.
Time.
And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
So, thank you. Kim J., you're up, followed by Robin B. Kim?
Hi, everyone. This is Kim J., recovering overeater in Texas. This is my first time on this meeting. I've had a few people recommend it to me, and this is so timely for me about self-sufficiency because, you know, there's that part of me that just, no matter how many times I fail, that keeps saying, Kim, you can find the key. You can open the door on your own. And the truth is I can't. And the days go by, the years go by, and there are issues that are still there. So I looked up the word surrender because I realize I keep knowing that I understand these words, but the definition of them sometimes is very different from what I thought it was. And it says to give oneself up into the power of another. And that's so scary for me because I don't trust. But as I've come to realize here at the ripe old age of 43 is I've been doing it on my own all this time. And I keep finding a new low place. I'll go up, I'll go down. I'll go up, I'll go down. You know, weight-wise, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Because I need that stability of my higher power. You know, whoever your higher power is, mine, I choose to call Abba, Father, is going to bring that stability to my life. Because at this point, it's logical. I've proven to myself that I cannot do it. It's so disheartening to find yourself up and down, up and down over time, because we do have a finite time on this earth in this form. And to see those years tick by and things going up and down is very disheartening. So I'm grateful for the group. I'm grateful for realizations in my life, because if I can't accept something, I can't surrender, and then I can't get into that place where I am being directed by something greater than myself. Thank you.
And thank you, Robin B. Kim J. Robin B., you're up, followed by Dion R. Robin?
Thanks. This is Robin B., Southern California. Good morning. I just keep going with the almost childish faith. I think that it's not even for me, almost. It has to be a childish faith, because I get so fearful and full of doubts that if I don't shove that faith right up there, then I feel like a kid on a playground who's on that merry-go-round, and boy, I'm laughing and I'm running as fast as I can to spin around that merry-go-round, and then I pick my feet up off the ground and hold on, and it just goes, and I'm laughing, and then the next thing I know, I'm getting dizzy. I'm getting dizzy and disoriented, and got to stop, either jump off or put my foot down and dig it into the sand and stop the thing from spinning around. But sometimes that's just how my life feels. And lately, you know, I've been absent just over 30 days, and, you know, I'm grateful because no cravings or anything like that. But, you know, the feelings and the fears are all come up, and I have to stop myself from spinning and getting dizzy and shove that faith in there and say, okay, you know, I'm not sure how this is going to work this time, but go ahead and, you know, take over and replace my fear and my dizziness and disorientation with stable ground. And I just want to I want to keep that childish faith in the forefront, because, you know, I'm a full-grown adult, ha-ha, but I've never felt like one. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I have always felt like a fearful child, and I still do a lot. And so now I have this new renewed system built on a faith that I can't even describe. You know, I have always known there was a higher power, but we've had conflict. And I've been like, in your face, you know, do your worst, whatever, you know, screw you. You've let me down so many times, blah, 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 blah. And now it's like, okay, thanks for sticking around. Thanks for letting me have my tantrums. Thanks for letting me still be alive after all of it. And so I'm kind of looking forward to what's coming up. And it's not to say that the fear is totally gone, but there's faith. And that's pretty much what I'm hanging on to. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin B. And Dion R., you're up, followed by Patty T. Dion?
Yes. Hi, this is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeating. Very grateful today. The Wright brothers, almost childish faith. I hear a lot about the faith today and the belief and childish faith. When I look at that, I'm thinking about that sentence before there. It's like, our ideas did not work, but the God ideal did. I know that was in a previous paragraph from yesterday, but still just looking, comparing that with the childish faith. You know, I would have did anybody's faith, anybody's belief, you know, when I got to that desperate state. When I first came into OA, I wasn't at the desperate state. I was still trying to figure it out, you know, trying to find it out, and had so many problems that I couldn't solve that I was like, I'll take anybody's faith. When I finally hit my last problem that I don't think, and thank God, I'll never forget it, because I just went out. And I couldn't even have the power to take myself out. And I didn't want to put that on my children and my family. So I said, well, I started thinking, I just thought really God didn't love me. For a time, I did doubt it. I was agnostic when I came in because I doubted the existence. And then when I did believe, I didn't believe he loved me. So it was always questioning. So it's hard for me to get God sufficient, to say either God is or isn't. One of my sponsors in the program, and she said, it's like being on the fence. And she said, I think he would hate for you to be on the fence. Like one time you're this, flip and flop, hot and cold. I believe in God, I don't. She said, either you should or you shouldn't, because this is her point of view. She gave me, you know, that maybe he just don't want that for you. He want more. Not that he's angry at you that you're there, but right now that's not where you he wants you to rest at. So I was like, oh, okay. Because I began to think, are you going to hate me because I'm hot and cold? I just didn't know because my conception was screwed. It wasn't God's conception. It wasn't the people in OA that were recovered conception. It was mine. You know, I felt like if it didn't make sense to me, then it's not true. Now, who am I? You know, I just got that little peewee brain, and then I think about all the people in OA collected together, God's consciousness, have a way stronger, and it's working for them. So what make me think I'm supposed to fight just because it didn't make sense to me? So anyway, the short part of it is I ceased fighting everybody and everything and kept working the steps, and the magic happens. It happened and continues to happen. No matter what, it continues. So, yeah, that childish life faith is restored and even maturing, too. But mm-hmm. I remember. So I just want to say that. Thank you guys for allowing me to share, and I'll pass with that.
And thank you, Dion R. And before we hear from Patty T., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at this morning. We're on page 52. We're in the fourth paragraph, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith. And after Patty T. shares, I'll take some more names. All right, Patty.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for your service, Sherry. This is Patty T., recovered today by the grace of God from Southern California. You know, when I walked into the rooms of OA 13 years ago, my childish faith was awakened. It had been shut down over the years of my adulthood, in those years that I lived in fantasy and food and self-sufficiency. I was what you might want to call a functioning compulsive eater. And, you know, I looked good on paper, but boy, oh boy, I was one hot mess. And I can remember when I first was in program, I got abstinent almost immediately, and I was discovering all these things. I was discovering a life without using food. That was amazing. That was like discovering a bicycle. And then I discovered my bike, you know, and then I started riding, and I started getting in races. I was a different person. But every time something would happen, every time something wouldn't, quote, go my way, I would always say to my sponsor, I think God made a mistake. Because I still had a very strong agnostic and atheistic bent to my thinking and to my faith. You know, I still wanted to think that I was doing all of this, that all of this is within my control and my power. I had not ever fully surrendered. And after 5 years of back-to-back abstinence, I relapsed. And it took me 6 years of chronically relapsing and getting abstinent to a degree and relapsing again and trying to get abstinent again and this whole thing. And the entire time, that cynicism that comes with the mind of an alcoholic and that non-believer just took hold. And I blamed God, because that's what we do. You know, that's what I do. That's what my family did. They blame everybody, anybody, for what's not going right. And then I finally was surrendered to the fact that I couldn't control my food or my thinking, period. I was really lost. And I surrendered completely to my higher power and just said, can you do anything? Can you just help me for the next 18 hours? That's all I need, just for today. And that changed everything. 2 weeks later, a friend of mine in my home meeting here locally told me about vision meetings. And I came on this line. And you guys have helped me find a faith that really works.
Time?
And that's all I can say. Thanks a lot.
And thank you, Patty T. So, again, we're on page 52. Paragraph 4, the Wright brothers. Who would like to share next?
Michelle K.
Gotcha, Michelle. Michelle K.
Bruce E.
Was that Bruce E?
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bruce, gotcha.
Stacy K.
Stacy K. Got room for three more. Come on.
Reggie
in. Reggio.
Kathy W.
Okay. All right. One more.
Mary H.
Mary H. All right. So I have Michelle K., Bruce E., Stacy K., Reggio, Kathy W., and Mary H. Michelle K., please go ahead. You'll be followed by Bruce E. Star one to unmute, please, Michelle.
Good morning. This is Michelle Kay on the road to recovery in North Dakota. And to share on this paragraph, when I read through it, we have some of the Wright brothers inventing something that's going to fly. And in my recovering stages here, without the help of my higher power, I wouldn't be able to fly in my program. And, you know, a lot of that is a vision for you people. You guys have been very much a lot of help. And when I think of this invention flying, well, what is causing this to fly? Well, God is our creator, that's what I believe, and we need the wind, we need the air, that that oxygen, and that's going to help it fly. And I look at my program as my oxygen that is going to help me fly, and without the higher power, it's not going to happen for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Michelle K. Bruce E., you're up, followed by Stacy K. Bruce?
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody on the line. Bruce E. in North Carolina. The Wright brothers, almost childlike, childish faith or childlike faith. I occasionally see people that have this childlike faith. It's awesome to see it. It's sort of a blind faith. It's sort of a almost an ignorant faith. Just a a total dependence on something other than themselves. And the Wright brothers needed to have that because nothing ever worked before them. I guess I needed to have that because nothing ever worked for me before this. So the Wright brothers employed that childlike faith or that childish faith, and it worked. And they invented the airplane, and now look what we have. We agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. And I saw my dad being self-sufficient, my brother, older brother, everything. I said, I can do this, and I'm failing time after time for years at self-sufficiency. It never worked for me. I tried every diet that's out there. I even thought about it. I didn't try it, but somebody mentioned the all-dessert diet, and I thought, maybe I'll try that. You know, so all the different diets, all the different exercise programs never worked for me, but God's sufficiency worked. It goes on to say that when others showed them that God's sufficiency. So I saw that on this line here that I got on the line, heard people saying they were recovered, and said, well, maybe at that point I got some childlike faith, and I started to try this and it worked. So now I'm recovered. And so it says here, God's sufficiency worked with them. We began to feel like those who had insisted that the Wright brothers would never fly. I never knew all these years in OA, I never knew that I could get recovered. I never thought that. It's kind of like the people that thought the Wright brothers would never fly. I kind of thought that, you know, about, you know, it can't work. It's impossible. I tried it for years, but it does work. So now I'm recovered. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Brucey. Stacy K., you're up, followed by Reggie O. Stacy?
Good morning, Sherry. This is Stacy K. from Colorado, compulsive overeater. Glad to be here. I keep thinking about, you know, this inventing thing or the things that we tried. And I was thinking when I was back in the food how I would, you know, make these concoctions, right? Because I was on the new diet and I had pitched everything, you know, everything with sugar in it or everything with chocolate in it or whatever diet I was on, right? Like, I would get rid of all the bread. But I would, like, in that compulsion or in that, you know, when that craving kicked in, I would just, like, make something, like, out of whatever was in the house. Anything sweet, I'd find, you know, jam, and I would be using that for my sugar and mixing it with flour or even coffee creamer, I think I used one time, you know, the things that I would make. Oh my God. But anyway, it just kind of makes me chuckle. And so these steps worked for me in another program, worked really well. And I kept thinking, I know these steps work. Why won't they work for my eating problem? You know, and I kept trying, and I was desperate to be desperate. And I was like, when am I going to be done with this? You know, I knew enough about the big book and the steps. But I don't know. Like, I wasn't done yet with the food, or I still was, you know, managing well enough. I'm not really sure. But when I always thought I was going to be, you know, one of those people in the forward to the second edition, you know, where only about 25%, you know, but they felt better, you know, they got better. And I feel like, you know, that was good news and bad news for me, that there were some things that got better, you know, that I didn't lose everything. But inside, you know, just that constant battle and fight with the food and with compulsive overeating and my weight and everything and trying to manage it. And it only was God, you know, like it just, I was done, you know. And then when I was able to put down the food, then the steps worked for me and the freedom came. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Stacy K. Reggie O., you're up, followed by Kathy W. Reggie?
Hey, thanks, Sherry. This is Reggie O, gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And boy, oh boy, every paragraph we read in this chapter, I'm reminded of how I used to never like this chapter. I just wanted to get through it. And, you know, and here I am just feeling this amazing experience with every paragraph. And I love what someone said before. Well, let me just stop with, go back, you know, the almost childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. And without that, nothing could have happened. And there was a great deal of early in my adult life, I just had this sense of awe and wonder. And I always did it as a kid, you know. And it wasn't necessarily related to God, because I had left the God of my childhood behind. That God hadn't left me behind. I didn't know that, but I had left that God behind. But, you know, when I read this before, I've always loved this paragraph intellectually, you know. I had this intellectual passion about it. Yes, oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, and I read once, too, not only did they have this childish faith that they could fly, but that bumblebees actually aerodynamically cannot fly, you know, and they fly all around. So, you know, it's like, who am I to say what's possible and what's not possible? And who am I to think, you know, that I have the last word? I don't anymore. And that, you know, that childish faith, that, I don't know, it's almost like a sweetness, and it gives me a sense of, I don't have to live that stance that I had in life a lot, you know, that if I was going to show up, I had to know, you know, I had to know, and people had to know I knew. And that was, you know, that was a bit, anyway, that was just a part of what it was. It's amazing to me that every day on this line that I listen these days, that I, you know, I have the experience of this childish faith, you know. It's this book is no longer an intellectual text for me, you know, any part of it. It is a living, breathing document that tells me how to live in a way that I can surrender my life in every area, and it's going to be good. I'm not 100% all the time by any stretch, but boy, oh boy, I'm so far from where I ever was, and the depth, you know, the depth of my experience and feeling of a lot of things on a daily basis is just so much more. And so thank you all for, you know, all of the amazing, wonderful experience that you share and show up with. And I'm going to pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Reggie O. Kathy W., you're up, followed by Mary H. Kathy?
Good morning. This is Cassie W., compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I love it when it happens that, like, you get the paragraph you exactly needed to hear. I guess what stood out to me was the self-sufficiency part, that growing up, I kind of learned very, very young that my mother was not going to take care of me, that, like, I couldn't depend on her to take care of me. Or my brother, so no father in the picture, so I had to be very self-sufficient, very young, and for a long time, I, like, prided myself on that, like, I didn't have to ask anyone for anything, I could do whatever I wanted to do if I just worked for it or whatever, and that kind of was a hindrance for me in my program, because I came in, and one, I didn't find desperation. And then two, like, I was so hung up on this, like, well, I don't know how to I don't know how to define this God. And if there is a God, then how is this God going to help me with my eating problem? Because, like, this, I can manage this on my own. And I think through listening to fellows and reading the Big Book, and just, like, I had a crazy car accident, burning bush experience last Saturday, but, like, I've kind of learned that I have to let it go, like, let go and let God. I think that's one of our thousands of sayings in program. And it's kind of, like, freeing to, like, just let everything go. And, like, it's none of my business. It's God's business. And I also liked the childish faith that the Wright brothers felt. I don't think it's necessarily, like, ignorance from a child, but it's that a child is so open and so unjaded by any other person's or other thing's perspective, that they're willing to believe in anything. So I think I like that, and I want to try to be more, have more childish faith, just be more open to the idea that just because I haven't defined a God doesn't mean that there's not a something out there looking out for me and that can help me out if I just ask for it. I'm an actor, so like the rule is like yes and when you're doing improv, so I think I'm just going to like go with it, like yes, God is here and da-da-da-da-da, like he can take my problems if I ask for them. He can help me not compulsively eat. He can help me find service opportunities. Yes, and. So, yeah, I think that's all I have. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy W. And Mary H., you're up. You're our last, Mary. I'm going to say followed by. Mary,
hey
take
there.
Us out, please. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you hear me? This is Mary H. in Wisconsin, recovered. And, you know, it not only here says that they didn't want to print the successful flight, but it also talks about all the other times that it seemed like it had been proven that man couldn't fly, you know? And so it's not just that they had faith in this idea, like maybe this will work, but they had faith in this idea that humans could fly through the air, which is not something we do every day, and that we could do that despite everything that came before them failing, even in an effort to produce the same effect that they were convinced that they were going to be able to do. And that faith was the, what did it say? You know, that it was their childlike, childish faith that they could build that machine was the mainspring. Oh, you know, there were so many ways that I had proven to myself that this wasn't going to work for me. This wasn't going to work for me because I was too broken. It wasn't going to work for me because anything else that I had ever done to manage my emotional experience and my weight had failed. It wasn't going to work for me because I already had a God. And so it really became a, what choice did I have? What choice did I have? I was listening to the people in OA tell me about their experience of being reborn as far as food was concerned, and that it was touching all these other aspects of their lives. What choice did I have? As somebody else said, everything else that I had done just kept on leading down a path that the bottoms got lower and lower. And so what can I do except try to pick up this spiritual toolkit one day at a time, show up for what these simple instructions say, and trust the process and see what happens. And for me, it's a year of entire abstinence and my feet being on a path that really goes somewhere and feeling a real change because of that childish faith, because of that simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. So thank you so much. I'll pass.
And thank you, Mary H. Well, that's all the time we have today for sharing. Thank you, everyone who shared. I want to thank Team Thursday for their service today. Cindy K. on the 12 Steps, Ann P. on the 12 Traditions. Reader of our text was Robin P. Dion R. is going to read page 164, and Leslie W. is waiting in the wings. Mary H., our newcomer greeter, and Reggie O., our announcements. So, thank you, everyone, for your share. And just now we're going to have Dion R. read page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Dion? Star 1 to unmute, please. Dion? Okay. Leslie W., can you read page 164, please?
This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee.
Thank you, Leslie.
Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.